Reading in the 22nd chapter from verse 4 and 5 tonight, we're continuing where we left off. For those of you that haven't been with us for most of this Bible study and the revelation of Jesus Christ, I would suggest that you get the tapes and study them for yourself and all the scriptures, because this is a Bible study, which means just that. You do not learn all the scriptures have for you by just listening to someone else. We've been studying this for about 3 years, a very in-depth study of these prophecies. I think that they help us to understand our life today, and they certainly help us to understand what's happening round about us in this world. Even more than that, they help us to understand that it won't be too much longer. As we've been studying in this very last portion, we're now in the last chapter. This is taking place on down into the future. It's not right now here in chapter 22nd. It is the time that takes place after the thousand-year reign and after the Battle of Armageddon and after the thousand years reign and after Satan's loosed for a short while. Then finally and for eternity, he's cast into that lake of fire. It is at that time that the saints, or the bride, as the church is called, of Jesus Christ, that they go up to that new city, the new Jerusalem that's spoken of here in the scriptures. It is this description that we have just finished in the 21st chapter, and now in the 22nd, we're seeing so much more of it on the inside also as we're finishing these prophecies. I want to read tonight verse 4 and 5, chapter 22. We're just continuing. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. As we see these scriptures continuing, this is what is taking place after this period of time, the thousand years peace called the millennium. This new Jerusalem comes down over the earth. We learned in the preceding chapters the size, how great a city this is, that it does just hang over the new earth, that it never touches the earth. We learned the huge, great size of it, that it is a four-square city. We also learned those who would enter into this city and those who could not by the scriptures. As we read here in verse 4, we're continuing with some beautiful portions of scripture. Here, verse 4 tells us something that is peculiar only to the bride or the saints of the living God that are caught up in the rapture, that become the rulers and reign with Jesus Christ from this new city. In verse 4, it does say, they shall see his face. They'll see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. This being face to face, as one of the other scriptures in Revelation we've already studied, teaches us that we shall see him face to face. This scripture that's saying the same thing, we shall see his face. I could not help but think what a rare privilege that this is going to be. The full meaning cannot be comprehended until that day comes when we truly can see him face to face. It is the natural sequence to chapter 21 and verse 2 when we see John saying, I saw that holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We look at that and we look here, they shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. We can see here the relationship between Jesus Christ and the redeemed, the important parts that we find in a natural marriage that God said by the natural things he's put in this world, we understand the spiritual things. We have studied in the past when the Apostle Paul was talking about the marriage between a man and a woman, the love and the honor and the cherishing that should be there, the preferring one another. And then he finishes this with saying, now, this is true of a natural marriage, but actually I'm speaking of Jesus Christ and the church, his bride. It is a natural love and relationship between the groom and his bride, shows us the close relationship of Jesus Christ and his people. We see in this relationship that the redeemed will be as an intimate of a relationship with Jesus Christ as the relationship of a bride and groom, that they will have his name. Read again. Just one verse. We have many of them we already studied. But when John saw this holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, we know that it's the same city and the same mansions that Jesus spoke of when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also." That is a promise that all of God's people have. And it's a promise that is going to be fulfilled. In this verse 2 in chapter 21, we are seeing that place, it's beginning, the picture of it's beginning to take place. It is prepared as a bride, the church where he said, "Where I am, you may be also," of his bride, the church, the raptured. This new city is going to be adorned as a place for the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a spiritual understanding of the natural. There are no created beings that can ever aspire to a greater place or a greater position or a greater power or a more wonderful experience than that you're going to see the face of Jesus Christ face to face. Amen. In this close, beautiful relationship. We see his name is in their foreheads. This would not be a distinction if the redeemed were never to leave this holy city. We have the scriptures that tell us that, where we have already studied here, that the door will not be closed. The gates of the city shall not be shut at all by day. And there's no night there, so it's always day. The gates are never shut in going into this new city. If the redeemed, along with all the rest, had this same distinction of the name, they have taken this name of Jesus Christ, and it will be written on their foreheads, there wouldn't be a rare distinction. We see that the redeemed, because everyone in the city would have it, if they stay inside this city, then it wouldn't be a particular mark that's different, would it? So we see why the gates are never shut. It's because this holy city is opened for them to go in and out as they desire. The redeemed that have this name, are all going to have this name, will be ruling from this city. But it is out in the universe, wherever the bride goes, or let's bring it down more personal, wherever we go, those that have been redeemed, that this signet will be such a great mark of distinction as belonging only to those that are the bride of Christ. They will go to the new earth, the newly redeemed earth, not totally new, but made new again. They will be visiting the universe, and this is eternal. After billions and billions of years, it will still be billions and billions of years to come. It's an eternal eternity. There is no ending. I don't think we can comprehend that, can we? It is impossible when we see things come and go here so fast that we can understand there will be no ending to eternity. How much it does make us to understand we need to make our calling and our election to this eternity with Jesus Christ so sure. This distinction, verse 4, "They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads," is a distinction that will be signifying that these are they belonging only to the bride of Christ. We had some questions on this. Who is this bride that's to be in this new city? And we know it's speaking of those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bring this in a little more clear again today as we see this distinction made, a separation again made, belonging only to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have lived. Separate these out, because the scriptures teach this distinction also belongs only to those who have lived victoriously in Satan's realm. Think about that. This world, the scriptures say, is Satan's world right now. Right here and now, you are living this life victoriously. The requirements for these people, these peculiar people, are a people that are called by his name. We do this probably wondering why, but in natural marriages, the wife, the bride, takes the name of the groom. We have in the scripture showing us that this was always ordained to be, that the bride takes the name of the groom. So it is a people called by his name and full of his spirit that this verse applies to. Full of his spirit. We studied in earlier portions of this, it says that these saints of the Most High God actually silenced the music of the angels as they sang their own songs of redemption. So the angels could not join in that song. Amen. Because the angels were never redeemed. Redeemed. What is the definition of this word again? It's such an important word. We're seeing again as we end these prophecies we've been studying for 3 years. What is the definition of redeemed again? Being made new or taken back to its original state. The word re is always doing it over again. That's the reason we have so many scriptures that have to do with that. But redeemed are to be brought back to Jesus Christ. We look at this and we see that these that were able to sing the song of redemption all had to be the redeemed of Jesus Christ. They have taken his blood in baptism. That name has been called over them. They have received the fullness of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They have lived that victorious life right here. When they go to meet God, they are living victoriously. It is a people who are the citizens of the glorious holy city who will see his face. Amen. Verse 4 and 5. Do you have any questions on this portion before we go on to the next? Verse 4 here. They shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. Who was this speaking about? The redeemed, the bride, those that are raptured up to be with Jesus Christ. Who are the ones to be raptured? Full of the Holy Spirit, called by his name, and they've endured unto the end. What end are we talking about? Whose ending is this? When Jesus Christ steps out, it says, and the trumpet sounds. So when is this? For those that are living and remain, and those that have died in Christ. Amen. I want to give you a couple of scriptures here on this. I think it's so important right now as we are closing this long Bible study. We've went into every part of it from the Old Testament through the New Testament, going back and forth through the prophecies, the scripture bearing witness with scripture. And I don't think it's just by chance that we are studying into this portion of our eternal home and the glory that's there. Every time we have come to a specific place in these prophecies, we have seen that we are living in the place that God has brought it out right then, right at the time. That's so meaningful, hasn't he? It is so amazing what the Word of God has doing in our midst. I don't think that I can fully comprehend it myself. I can see how great and supernatural God is and how he brings this to bear upon his people. I couldn't help but think this past week so much on those scriptures that say that it's the people called by his name and full of his spirit. And to thank him that he shows us these scriptures so clearly that we don't have any doubt. There is no doubt whatsoever. Always before there is confusion and doubt. And maybe even when you first receive the Holy Spirit, you're not sure of quite what's going on, but there's no doubt that that's the power of the living God with you. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures to go along with this. These are those who live victoriously right here and now. Those that live victoriously in their life and have gone on to meet God that will be raised up in that last day. It is a people that are called by his name and full of his spirit. In Acts the 4th chapter, from verse 7, the Apostle Paul is talking here. They had been healing and raising people from the dead and showing great miracles at these times that they were living in. And from verse 7, they were taken and set them in the midst of them, and they asked the apostles this question, "By what power or by what name have you done this? How have you been able to do these miracles? By what power and by what name?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Here again, it separates out God's people. Doesn't matter in the natural how great you might be, how much power you might have. One that is as a lowly fisherman, yet filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, can confound the rulers and elders of the world. Because the power comes and the knowledge comes, the wisdom comes from God Himself. "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you hold, by the name of Jesus Christ." Amen. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." We have that city not built with hands. He is the cornerstone, or without him the whole building, the foundation, would crumble. "Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is no other name. Neither does titles save you. It takes the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. You ask what the name of the Messiah is, and you know it's the name of Jesus Christ. What's the name of the Savior? Jesus Christ. What is the name of that one that came and died for us? Jesus Christ. We know that it takes this name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, because that's the question they ask. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Most Christians do a lot of things in the name of Jesus Christ. They pray over their food and they ask the blessing in Jesus' name. If there is a problem, they pray and they end it in Jesus' name. Isn't it strange that for such a significant, important thing, when he says that you must be born of water and of spirit to enter into the kingdom of God, that he said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't it strange that so many that are called Christians still do not baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? Isn't that the name that we use for everything? And yes, I know you say, well, there's no difference in that and saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." It would be to me. He speaks over and over of how important the name, his name, is. "Neither is there salvation in any other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So much more important than even saying your prayers and asking him to bless your food in the name of Jesus Christ. This name to him is important. Back to Revelation, the 21st chapter, and reading verse 2. He said, "I saw the new city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then back over here in verse 4, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." We see over and over and over and over, as we have studied this, the importance of being in obedience to the entire word of God. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, we again have scripture bearing witness with scripture, verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17 said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed," that doesn't say part or some of or you can, but it is a commandment. Whatsoever, what does it cover?
Whatsoever. What is the definition of that word itself? Whatsoever. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all, everything. Nothing is left out, is there? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You do all things in that name. It is the people who are called by His name and full of His Spirit who will live in this new Jerusalem. Do you have any questions at this time? I know that this is winding it up, and most of it, I hope that you have studied right along with it. We go on to verse 5. It says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever, and ever and ever. Eternal reign. The gates will never be shut. They are open all day, and there is no night. They are open all the time. The gates will never be shut. Inasmuch as no one may enter into this city except for those whom it was prepared, the gates must be for the going out and coming back in of the bride that has His name. Revelation 21 and 27, the last one we read here, the last chapter, says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So those gates are not open to anyone except the bride of Christ. So therefore they are open so the bride may go in and out at will. The body of believers, the church of the living God. The inhabitants of this city, after maybe the first 10,000 years, certainly will have a desire to go see all the rest of the handiwork of Christ. They can come and go as they please. Do any of you know, did you study any this past week, of another scripture in the Old Testament that shows the same thing? In the New Testament, the scriptures tell us that this Holy Spirit, this New Testament dispensation we have from the time on this side of the cross when Jesus Christ arose until the rapture or the catching away of the bride, that dispensation we call the dispensation of grace, that the Old Testament prophets and even the angels desired to look into this thing because it was the greatest time of mankind's history. It was the most privileged time to live. There is a scripture in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, that show us here is the prophet that in vision, as oftentimes they saw the things that were to take place in our time. Here in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, we are seeing the Jews as they went into sin. We are seeing that salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. We're seeing here as the Gentiles are brought into the church of the living God. Isaiah is seeing all this and bringing it out in prophecy. There's just really one verse of scripture that I want to read here so that we don't prolong this. And that is verse 8. This is dealing with the end time, the same time we're studying in Revelation right now. And he says, as he's seeing this, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? What is the explanation of that? If you're just reading this, what would you think Isaiah was seeing? The glorified body. Amen. It has to be redeemed. It has to be glorified. This same body, Paul says. When this time comes, Isaiah is seeing this day, not now, but when this takes place that we're studying in Revelations on down the future. He saw this when he's standing here on the earth and he's looking up, much as Revelation, the beginning of it, John saw the first portion of it as we studied here, this first room up here, the portion seeing it from the point of view of earth, looking up to heaven. And John saw it this way. Isaiah is seeing it the same way. He's standing on the earth and he's looking up, beholding. He is seeing the holy city. And he's seeing the gates in this city, and he's seeing the gates are always open. And he is seeing its inhabitants coming and going. If you looked up and you saw something like that, what would you think about it? How would you describe it? Much as he is. He is asking in amazement and wonderment a question. What he is seeing, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? It's not something you have to say, well, I wonder what the doves represent and I wonder what the clouds could be. It's what he actually saw, and he's trying to describe it in natural words, this supernatural happening. We are going to be part of that if we endure to the end, full of his Spirit and called by his name. Going back to Revelations again, the 22nd chapter says that God gives them light. God gives them light. There's no night there. They have no need of the candles, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There are a number of other scriptures that we had just in the book of Revelation that shows the same thing, this light. Can you give me any of them? That God is the light. How about anywhere in the New Testament? All right, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus said this, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the light. Here it says, the Lord God giveth them light. All right, someone else, another scripture? All right, John said the same thing. Jesus is the light of the world. Any others? All right, the Lord is my light. Amen. His countenance was as the sun shining, the light. We see so many. Light is used for a number of reasons, and it's always used in the scripture. Here, it's the same thing. It's maybe not the sun as we see it today, but it is the light to guide us, not just a natural light, but a spiritual light also. Here it says, God gives them or gives us light. The scripture says, the Lamb is the light thereof. Another scripture says, the glory of God did lighten it. Light is associated with life, isn't it? The light of Jesus Christ gives eternal life. There could be no darkness in the presence of one who has the powers of an endless life. Could be no darkness. We will not need sleep there. Thank God for that. I don't get much of it here. But I won't even need sleep there. So I won't need darkness. I'll only have light. Won't that be glorious? When we have, which we haven't had much of it this summer, but when we have sun and the brightness and the warmth and we walk in that, it makes you so much more alive, doesn't it? That is the natural to show us the spiritual. Scripture that says, for in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen? This light is the supernatural light of the Lord God. They shall reign with him forever and ever. So oftentimes we think of reigning with him when he says you are a peculiar people, separate yourself out. You shall rule and reign with him. So oftentimes we think of that and associate it just with 1,000 years. But that's not it. This time with the bride is forever and ever to reign with him, to rule over the new earth and the worlds to come that we already studied about. The worlds to come. Do you have any questions? Let's go to one other scripture that Peter sums up very beautifully about this, and it's found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And from verse 8, we're speaking of time here. It says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That's forever and ever. That's eternity. That's what we've been studying about in these prophecies in the book of Revelation. We're going to spend this forever and ever in this new city with him. 1,000 years is just a drop in the bucket. That's just a tiny little portion. We'll get through that and nothing flat. And we won't be able to wait for going to our new city. Said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He keeps all his promises. As some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward. It is for our good always. He's patient to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It does not say that he will not let any perish. It said it's not his desire, it's not his will that any perish. But how do you keep from perishing eternally? How do you keep from spending eternity in hell? That all should come to repentance. It's a continuation. Without the repentance, the very word does not mean saying, I'm sorry, God. The word repentance, definition from the dictionary, says to turn away from. It is his desire that when you come to know him, you turn away from your life of sin. That is repentance. That's what his will is. But the day of the Lord will come. His desire, he is patient with us, long-suffering. The world continues going year after year, but the time will come when it comes to an end. We're rapidly seeing that time come according to prophecies. When it does, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's before this time. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This word conversation is conduct in its original. This is the type that you should be. All what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Because that's what it's going to take to enter into that city. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Still a question. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. It's heaven made new and the earth made new, according to what we've studied, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Nothing unrighteous can enter into that city. Peter puts it very clearly here. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, the scripture says this is what you must be to enter in. You are looking for such things. Be diligent. You're going to have to spend some time in it. It's going to take you time to study this word, to pray, to be obedient to the word of God. You're going to have to put it into your everyday life, not just God out there on the shelf somewhere. So we, according to his promise, are looking for these new heavens. And if you're looking for them, beloved, see that you look for such thing. Be diligent. Don't do it half-heartedly, because you will not enter into that city. That you may be found of him. Found how? When he steps out and blows that trumpet, the angel blows the trumpet, and we rise up to meet him. Amen? Be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Turn back over here again, and we see where we have been studying. Again, from the last verse in chapter 21, there shall in no wise enter into it, into what? This new city, anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We saw over here in the scriptures in the 22nd one, we saw in the 15th chapter, he added more. Without, on the outside, are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. But, beloved, if we're looking for that city, let's look at what he describes it to be. These mansions that he told his disciples, those that followed him. He said, I go away and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. That you may be where I am, whether we go on before or where we're caught up in the rapture, we will enter into this new city if we are obedient, and it's well worth it, isn't it? Not only is it something that we look toward with great joy, but this life right here, the life of that peace that passes all understanding, the joy that is joy unspeakable, right here in this life, makes it worth it all. And then you begin to look at what he is preparing for his people, and you think it is more more than we could just ever imagine in our own imagination. That's why he said, eye has never seen nor ear heard. We've never been able to fully comprehend all he really has done for us and he is really doing for us. But, beloved, it will be as the scriptures say, be ye holy because I am holy. Don't let anyone ever tell you you can live differently than what this word of God says and you can have this eternal city with Jesus Christ, because you cannot. He did not die and shed that blood to redeem you and keep you in your sins. He died and he shed that blood to save you out of your sin. That's what the scriptures say. He died to save you from your sins, take you out of that sin. You cannot do it without the power of the Holy Ghost. But oh, let me tell you, in that power of the Holy Ghost, you can live anyway. Because the joy it brings, the power that you have to change your life, is so, so important that you receive this. When Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and of spirit, he meant just that. You must take that name in baptism in Jesus' name, and you must have an infilling of the Holy Spirit, knowing you have it, not just say, well, I think I have it. Oh, well, I take it by faith. Faith is the first step into receiving it. But if it was faith alone, if believing, the word faith and believing is one and the same, Satan would be saved because he believes in God. But instead, you have to follow in obedience this word of God. And if you stay full of the Spirit, it's not only easy, but it's a joy to do. Amen. Will you stand with me tonight? I don't want to go into another portion of the study tonight, but I want to read these next two verses to you, because again, it's a promise, as Jesus did. Remember, again, he over and over and over there in John, he wanted the people to be fully aware of what it was he was doing for them and of what it was he was going to do. He wanted them to understand. He repeated himself over and over and over about what he had waiting for them, that it could be as worth to them as it was to him, when it says that for the joy that was waiting for them, he endured that cross and the shame for what was waiting for him. The same way with us. Verse 6 and 7, here we are seeing this messenger in time with the Apostle John, as he's showing him the very end on down past our time. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Remember, remember, remember. He's reminding us again. This is truth. It's not a story. But these are faithful. They will come to pass. All of these promises and all these prophecies are going to come to pass. They are true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his messenger to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Beloved, that's where we are right now. He's brought us up into this time. We have been shown through his word and through comparing the prophecies that are coming true right now and the world happenings that these things must shortly be done. Behold, I come suddenly. Blessed is he that keepeth, not just heareth, but he that keepeth the prophecies of this book. Amen. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. Beloved, that's what I want to remind you of tonight as we close this. Don't be just a hearer of this word. You're going to have to diligently seek God to be full of that Holy Spirit. You're going to have to take the step, if you haven't taken it, of taking his name in baptism, because you must be holy as he is holy. If we're looking for these things and you believe this word, you can't change it and you can't take part of it. You must search the scriptures diligently, amen, that you won't be found lacking when that day comes. God bless you.